Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I hope you'll bear with me if I do go a wee bit croaky at times, but the Lord will give us the strength to get through it. And what he doesn't want you to hear, I won't be saying. I struggled a bit when I was preparing this message. I was wondering, is it really what the Lord wanted me to talk about? Until, after I'd sent my scriptures and all the rest through to Rob to put on, I picked up Word for Today on Friday. And the passage which sort of confirmed that it was what the Lord said to me, I'll just read it to you. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. It may be Christianity's best kept secret that the Holy Spirit is available to and indwells in every true believer, providing everything we need to handle life's difficulties and opportunities. The Comforter was promised by the Son, sent by the Father, and today he is ours by faith. Embrace him, trust his power, experience his peace, and follow his guidance. It's something at times, as Christians, we sort of forget to really take hold of, is what essentially the Holy Spirit is our guiding light. And without him, we are lost. So this message is entitled, What Every Christian Ought to Know. And it might be teaching you to suck eggs. But I'm moving away from the Baptist point of view. It hasn't got 3 points. Believe it or not, I've got 10 points, really. But they're only short ones, so don't get panicking. Don't panic. The first thing, how to understand the Bible. It's important that we understand the Scriptures. The Bible is the Word of God. And we must remember that it is the Word of God. As we can read in 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 to 17. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God be thoroughly equipped for every good work. It is important that we recognize then that the Bible is the Word of God and that it is God-breathed. And if it's God-breathed, then it's living and active. And it's nothing, not just a book. You know, I'm sure like me, you'll have reread familiar passages of Scripture. And the next time you read it, you'll get something new from it. You know, you can read many books over and over again and you get the same story every time. But the Bible, each passage that you read, it meets you where you are at that time. And the Lord feeds you with the sustenance that you need to get you through that situation where you find yourself at that time. And I think it's a wonderful thing. And we need to remember that. In fact, we could all read the same verse, and you'll hear the same verses that I'm reading today, and we'll all get different messages from the indwelling Spirit within us, from those messages, from those verses. So don't be afraid of that, because it's the Holy Spirit feeding you what you need. The second point we need to understand is our assurance of salvation. Once we've accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and again, you don't need to take my word for it. We look at Scripture. 1 John 5, 1 to 13 reads, Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. This is love for God, to obey his commands, and his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And the three are in agreement. We accept man's testimony, but God's testimony is greater, because it is the testimony of God, which he has given about his Son. Anyone who believes in the Son of God has this testimony in his heart. Anyone who does not believe, God has made him out to be a liar, because he has not believed the testimony of God that he's given about his Son. And this is the testimony: God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. I write these things that you who believe in the name of Jesus, the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Now, that's a wonderful bit of scripture. That's all the assurance that we need to know that if you're in God's hands, then you are safe. The third point we need to remember is we need to remember that we have got security about our eternal life. And we can read this from John's Gospel, chapters 10, 27 to 29. Familiar passage, I'm sure you're all well aware of it. My sheep listen to my voice, I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I don't know about you, but I find that scripture very reassuring and moving. And brings me on to the fourth point. I told you it'd be short, sharp points. What happens when we as Christians sin? Well, the psalmist David tells us in Psalm 51, verses 1 to 2, what we should pray to the Lord and ask him, as David did. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. You know, we can feel really separated from the Lord. At times we can feel lost and ashamed. At times we don't want to tell other people about it. We don't need to, but we need to get down on our knees and get before the Lord, just like David did, and ask him to forgive us our sins. And his word tells us that he is willing and able to forgive us our sins, and not only forgive us our sins, but blot them out and never remember them again. You know, we've got lovely families, and we've got wives and husbands who forgive us things. But often when things go wrong, they come back and, you remember when? Or, do you remember when you done this? And, you know, the Lord never does that. Once he's forgiven you, it's blotted out. And that is a wonderful thing. What a wonderful God he is. And again, he demonstrates to us as we look at point five how what he does for us so that we can handle temptation when it comes our way. And in 1 Corinthians 10, 12 to 13, it tells us, so if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so you can endure it. But only by his power and only in his strength. we try and get through things on our own, we are going to fail. Pride will bring us to our knees and hopefully lead us back to the Lord. Matthew 28:19-20, we read, and this is about believers. I believe it's about baptism. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Now, I don't know about you, but I've met Christians who are lovely people. And when you talk about baptism, you think, well, I don't need a bath, I was washed, you know. But I believe that this passage clearly refers to obedience to Jesus' command. Otherwise, why would he say, go into the world, make disciples of nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit? Now, I think that's simple enough, isn't it? But it's hard to do at times, as our sinful nature gets in the way. Our sinful nature can also cause interference with the subject matter of the next point that I want to look at: discerning the will of God. In Proverbs 3 and verse 6, advises us, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. If we think that we're going to get through life on our own strength and we're going to become what he expects us to be in our own strength, then we're fooling ourselves and we're only looking towards going over the edge of the parapet and having a painful descent to the ground. I don't think I need to add anything, as this verse seems to put it in a nutshell. So we'll move swiftly on. Point 8, about faith. How to have it? Romans 10:11-17 tells us, as the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Again, it's quite a straightforward scripture. I don't think it could be any clearer. Faith comes from hearing. So, what is our part? We need to listen. We need to take time out to be with the Lord. Turn off the computer, turn off the TV, get somewhere quiet, and just get into the zone with him and let him do his work in you. It happens at such funny times. I could be busy doing something, washing the dishes, and all of a sudden, from nowhere, will come the urge to maybe sing a little chorus that I learned when I was a knee-high day grasshopper at school. You know, it could be something like, Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. And it's just something that comes in, and I feel uplifted. And it's because you're getting involved with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is actually communing with us. You know, there's lovely scripture in Romans 12:6-8, and this is how we can discover our spiritual gifts. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Whatever you do, do it as if you're doing it for the Lord. Why? Because that's what you're doing. And that's what it's for. Because the Lord tells us. And we've prayed this morning. And how can we pray with power? We can only pray with power because we've got the Holy Spirit within us. And at times, I don't know about you, but whenever I'm in a time of prayer, I run out of things to say. And I don't know what to pray about. And if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, I'd be completely lost. But you know, he puts words into our mouths. And there's times when I've been sitting, even in this church, and the Holy Spirit's been asking me to, or prompting me to pray about a situation or about something. And I'm debating about myself and thinking, do I really want to do that? And I'm arguing with the Holy Spirit. And you know, the Holy Spirit won't be beaten, because the next 2 seconds, I hear someone else praying the prayer that the Holy Spirit was telling me to pray. And I feel really corrected and ashamed. And I've got to admit and confess to the Lord and apologize for not being receptive to the Holy Spirit at that time. And I'm sure it's not just me it's happened to. I'm sure it's happened to others. But I like the prayer that it's in Matthew 6, 9 to 13 that Jesus taught the disciples, and we all know it. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We need to understand that the power of prayer can come from one place only, and that's from God the Father. And if we just listen for his voice, as I've already said, he will prompt us and tell us what to pray for. And the thing that we need to remember as well is that a lot of times he answers our prayers in ways which are far greater than we can comprehend. Because we pray for something from a human aspect, and we don't always know what is best to pray for. It's like Jane that we prayed for, who just passed away after 3 weeks from getting a diagnosis that her cancer had returned. We prayed for healing for her. But at times, in our minds, in our human things, healing is what was needed. Yeah? But I prayed, and I think most of us here did, we prayed for her soul, that she'd be saved. It's more so than being healed, because healed, with her soul being given to the Lord, then she's not worried about where she's going. Our destination, we're all going to go there in the end. One way or the other, we're going to end in two places, heaven or hell. And I hope and trust that Jane had a time when she accepted that Jesus is the Lord. And it's never too late. When you think of the thief on the cross, seconds before he was dying, he was told by Jesus, tonight you'll be with me in paradise. You know, so long as there's breath, there's hope. And we've got to keep praying and not get concerned too much, because the Holy Spirit is at work in all situations. How do we understand the Bible? Well, one of the Old Testament, a lot of Christians turn around and say, is the Old Testament relevant today? Do we really need the Old Testament? I mean, we're no longer in law. We're in days of grace. So can't we just get rid of it? But can you imagine what would happen to your house if you took the foundations away? It would collapse. And the Old Testament is the foundations of our faith. And Psalm 119, if you haven't read it, I'm going to read it, parts of it, and disjointed, because that's how it fits into what I've got to say. But I'll tell you as I go through it. It's Psalm 119, and I'm going to read verse 18 first. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. You know, this morning I would like us to explore just how to understand the Bible. Now that we shouldn't be too difficult for us, eh? We all read the Bible every day, don't we? The reason I've gone through all of the previous points is simply because they all flow out of that understanding of scriptures. And we need to remember there is what I like to call three T's about scripture. One, yes, the Bible is timeless. Psalm, as I say, 119, verse 89, tells us, your word, Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. And yes, the Bible is truth. And we are told in verse 142, your righteousness is everlasting and your law is true. And the third T, yes, the Bible is a treasure. And verse 72 says, the law from your mouth is more precious to me than thousands of pieces of silver and gold. After the three T's comes what I like to call the three P's. They are prayed over, pondered over, and most importantly, practiced. Yes, the Bible is to be prayed over. In verse 12 reads, praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. Yes, the Bible is to be pondered over. In verses 147 to 148, we read, I rise before dawn and cry for help. I have put my hope in your word. My eyes stay open through the watches of the night, that I may meditate on your promises. We can meditate on the promises of God because all his promises are yes and amen. And the third, yes, the Bible is to be practiced. And at the start of that psalm, in verses 1 to 5, we read, blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the laws of the Lord. Blessed are they who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do nothing wrong. They walk in his ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. How then can we understand the Bible better? I believe it's when we have accepted all of the above truths and have said yes to them. We can take from the Bible victory. As verse 45 reads, I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts. We can experience growth. As verse 32 says, I run in the path of your command, for you have broadened my understanding. We can receive joy. As verse 54 tells us, your decrees are the theme of my song, wherever I lodge. And we can experience his power. Verse 28 tells us, my soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. That refers to the power comes from the word of God. And without that, there is no power. And we can also experience guidance. And it's verse 105, and there's a lovely song that we always sing about it. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. How many of us have bought a piece of flat pack furniture and commenced to make it? We don't need instructions. And you end up with a few extra nuts and bolts, and you put them in the toolbox for later. They'll come in useful for something else. And then all of a sudden, you put something on the shelves and they start to go wobbly and they fall down. Well, that's okay with flat pack furniture. But I wouldn't recommend that you consult or do the same thing with your life if you don't consult God's manual, the Bible. And we need to before we make any attempt to assemble our futures. We need to ensure that you've said yes to God. Then, and only then, can we claim the victory? Can we claim to have grown? Can we claim the joy? Can we claim the power? Can we claim the guidance and peace that only the living Word of God can supply? A peace that passes all understanding. It might seem a lot to take in, and to some it'll be like sucking eggs. But, you know, the Lord loves each and every one of us. And He has got plans for each of our lives. And we don't at times understand what those plans are until sometimes when we look back and see where we were along the road and to where He's brought us to today. And sometimes that's what we need to do. We need to reflect on just what God has done for us. And that's in that reflection, it can bring us closer to Him and demonstrate His love to us. It's easier to see because hindsight, as they say, is a wonderful thing. But we need to have the faith to step out when He prompts us to do it now as well. So don't always rely on hindsight, but use the hindsight to build up. We've got to learn from our mistakes. A mistake, anybody who hasn't made a mistake hasn't made anything. Because fear will keep someone walking on a tightrope and they'll not fall off it. But faith will get you across that tightrope a bit quicker because you know what happens when you fall. But you know, the Lord loves us. He loves each and every one of us, and He wants to bless us. And we need to just be receptive to what He is saying to us. And I'll just remind you now before I close, just in case, because I know Rob's got a lot on his mind. On Wednesday evening, it'll be the first Wednesday in December, and it is our prayer evening, and it will be in the church hall, and it commences at 7:30. And all of you who are able and willing to attend are most welcome. I might be back from Leyland. I'm going up to Leyland for a few days to visit our daughter and granddaughter and great-granddaughter and grandsons. So we're not quite sure how long we're going to be up there. It depends on her recovery and what have you. She just had an operation just out of hospital. But we are hoping to be back for Wednesday night, but no promises. We'll leave that in the hand of the Lord. Okay, that's it. So let's just come to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that we've got Your Word. We, Your disciples, didn't have the Bible to consult. But Lord, we've got no excuse. We've got it in various formats. We can listen to it on our laptops, or we can read it in the book, or we can listen to it on the radio, on UCB or Premier Radio. Lord, You're sending Your Word throughout this world in various ways, and nobody has got any excuse for being ignorant about Your goodness and Your grace and Your mercy and Your love for each one of us. And Lord, we just want to thank You and praise You this morning and ask You to continue to keep Your hand upon us, to keep us walking in Your way as You will guide us by the Holy Spirit that You've instilled in each one of us. Lord, help us to remember that we have got the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. We are a temple, Your temple, and the Holy Spirit is our guide. And we ask that You will direct our feet in Your ways. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.